Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about a landmine at Montana State University, Northwestern Energy's new coal supply contract, and an update on the cleanup of a former wood treatment plant in Butte. It's Wednesday, February 19th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Montana Department of Commerce officials say the Republican National Committee sent imitation census paperwork to residents in Cascade County. Similar look-alike mailings appeared in Montana last fall. Rachel Kramer reports.
State officials say some Cascade County residents recently received a mailer titled the 2020 Congressional District Census. The census lookalike asks respondents to pay at least $15 for processing what the RNC calls a census document. Josh Manning, spokesperson for the U.S. Census in Montana, says the officials with the 2020 count will ask for demographic information, but
we're not going to ask for your bank account information, we're not going to ask for money, and we're definitely not going to ask for your Social Security number, and we're not going to ask for your political beliefs.
Manning says documents that appear to be from the U.S. Census seeking that information should be reported to officials on census.gov. According to a State Commerce Department press release, the RNC sent the same mailer to people in Gallatin, Lewis and Clark, Jefferson, and Missoula counties last year. They were also reported in Alabama, New York, and Missouri. Last week, members of the U.S. House Oversight Committee asked the U.S. Census Bureau to get involved and requested these kinds of spoofed mailers to be stopped. The official 2020 census count will begin mid-March and will determine Montana's share of federal funding for the next decade. It could also determine whether Montana gets another seat in the U.S. House. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
A piece of war memorabilia spurred an investigation at Montana State University yesterday. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
Montana State University police cordoned off a campus parking lot after a diffused explosive was discovered in a student's car. MSU spokesman Michael Becker.
We had a student on campus who ordered a piece of military memorabilia, in this case, an inert landmine.
An inert Bulgarian landmine, to be exact. An online vendor sells the mines with their explosives and primers removed. Becker says U.S. Postal authorities launched an investigation after one of the vendor's packages was dropped in Minnesota and started vibrating. Investigators then looked into where the company's other orders shipped. That eventually led them to the Bozeman campus.
There's no indication whatsoever that this person had any wayward intentions.
The parking lot was closed, quote, out of an abundance of caution, end quote, until early afternoon when a Helena-based explosive disposal unit retrieved the mine and confirmed it posed no danger. Authorities plan to dispose of the device at Malmstrom Air Force Base. MSU says the student faces no disciplinary action or legal charges. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
Bozeman fly fishing guide Josh Seckinger has announced he is seeking the Democratic nomination in Montana's U.S. Senate race. Seckinger is the fifth Democratic candidate. He joins Cora Newman and Mike Knowles, both of Bozeman, Helena Mayor Wilmont Collins, and John Muse of Loma. The candidates are vying to take on Republican U.S. Senator Steve Daines in the general election. Seckinger said yesterday he's running to provide a voice for working-class Montanans. He says he supports paid family leave, legalizing and taxing marijuana, and creating a universal firearms registry, and supports working toward universal health care. Several elk in southwestern Montana's Ruby Mountains have been exposed to brucellosis. State officials say it's the first time the disease has reached elk in the area. Rachel Kramer reports.
Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Region 3 spokesperson Morgan Jacobson says recent test results showed two elk had antibodies to brucellosis.
So, doesn't necessarily mean that they carry the disease, it just means that they've been exposed to it.
Brucellosis spreads when cattle, elk, and bison come into contact with infected birth tissues and fluids. The disease can cause pregnant females to abort their fetuses or give birth to weak calves. FWP tested 100 elk in the Ruby Mountains this year as part of the ongoing project to monitor the disease in elk herds and their migration patterns. Jacobson says this research provides important data on the overlap between elk and livestock on the landscape, which could help inform future management decisions.
This is a you know, the first time that exposure to brucellosis has been detected in the Ruby Mountains since that surveillance project began. So something we're watching closely.
The Ruby Mountains are currently outside, but near the Montana Department of Livestock's boundary for high surveillance and testing for the disease. Montana State Veterinarian Martin Zalewski said in a press release that the Department of Livestock, quote, appreciates the continued partnership with FWP, which helps us identify where livestock are potentially at risk. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
The Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Commission has rejected a proposal by wildlife managers to extend the wolf hunting and trapping seasons in northwestern Montana. The Daily Interlake reported that the State Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks voted Thursday to maintain the hunting and trapping season from September 15th to March 15th. The proposal would have lengthened the season by 6 weeks and increased the individual hunting quota from 5 to 10 wolves. The two proposals received about 1,000 comments online and dozens during the meeting Thursday from people as far away as Arizona. State utility regulators have agreed with Northwestern Energy's request to block details on its new coal supply contract from becoming public, at least for the moment. This comes as Montana's biggest utility moves to buy a larger share of the coal-fired power plant in Coal Strip. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates-Carney reports.
Northwestern Energy argues its agreement detailing costs and supply for coal to feed Coal Strip Units 3 and 4 contains trade secrets and other information protecting it from public view. The coal supply deal could impact what Northwestern Energy customers pay for the energy coming into the company's proposed 25% additional share at one of the power plant units. The five members of Montana's Public Service Commission voted unanimously to keep the full coal agreement a secret. The vote will not keep potential interveners in the case, like the Montana Consumer Council, from seeing details. But the commission agreed to look over the deal and determine what parts of it could be made available to the larger public. Bob Blake is the PSC vice chairman.
Over time, we can go in and make that decision, what should be, what should not be, and come up with the correct decision legally and what is best for the people of Montana.
A group of seven Democratic state lawmakers earlier this month wrote a letter to the PSC commissioners urging more information on Northwestern Energy activity at Colstrip. The letter was written by Democratic members of the Legislative Consumer Committee and Energy and Telecommunications Committee. It said lawmakers have been, quote, hamstrung by not having good information about the underlying costs and benefits of the Colstrip facility and impacts to ratepayers, unquote. The letter also asked the PSC to minimize the use of protective orders like the one granted to Northwestern Energy's coal supply. Mary McNally, a Billings state senator, signed on to the letter.
Didn't really expect that they would change course, the PSC necessarily, but I hope going forward that maybe this will open up. We'll see.
PSC commissioners and their staff say the agency will review the coal supply agreement to see what the law allows to be disclosed. But because of the length and complexity of the document, it's unclear how long that might take. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
State environmental regulators say a former wood treatment plant in Butte needs a new cleanup plan to make the toxic site safer for both people and groundwater. Montana Public Radio's Nora Sachs has more.
South of where Interstate I-90 slices through the Summit Valley in Butte is a sprawling 36-acre parcel of land that looks like harmless, overgrown fields. But the State Department of Environmental Quality's project manager, Dave Bowers, says this is actually ground zero for Butte's smallest Superfund site, the Montana Pollen Treating Plant.
Where the operation of the pollen treating actually took place was through this area. It's where most of the really severe contamination was.
The facility operated for almost 40 years, until 1984. During its run, it treated a lot of wood to prevent rot and decay. That work also left behind a lot of toxic substances in the soil and groundwater. DEQ has been in charge of cleaning up the site for more than 20 years. Now the agency wants to alter the 1993 legal cleanup plan. Bauer says most importantly,
we're taking two of the contaminants and reducing the cleanup levels down to more protective cleanup levels.
DEQ officials say they need to change their cleanup plan because they've learned more about groundwater, and their old methods to degrade dioxins weren't doing the job fast enough. The state is proposing to make the cleanup levels for pentachlorophenol, which is a wood preservative, 17 times more stringent to better protect groundwater, and levels about 7 times more stringent for dioxins, which are a highly toxic industrial byproduct. More than 200,000 cubic yards of contaminated soils will be consolidated into a new, capped and sealed 9-acre landfill on site.
The plan all the way through was dig it up, put it over here, treat it, and then put it back.
The new cleanup standards will allow for industrial, commercial, and recreational use on the remaining 27 acres of land at the pole plant, not occupied by the waste landfill.
The only restriction we're going to have on the area is there will be no residential development.
Butte Silver Bow County is eyeing the location for a new animal shelter. DEQ currently has about $28 million left in the Superfund cash out settlement with former oil company Atlantic Richfield to clean up the area and do water treatment. Bowers says the proposed soil cleanup could cost in the neighborhood of $9 million, but it's too soon to know for sure. He says the work to clean up the soil could be done this season. David Hutchins is a scientist at Montana Tech who sees good things in the proposal, like the higher cleanup standards, but also a compromise around keeping more contaminated soil on site than was originally planned.
It accomplishes the goal. It would have been preferable not to have the waste in place, I think, but we do what we can.
DEQ is holding a public meeting on the proposed changes to the Montana pole plant cleanup on Tuesday night from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Butte Brewing Company. Public comments will be accepted through March 10th. I'm Nora Sachs, Montana Public Radio.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.